In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's Mass is being offered for the intentions of Our Lady of Guadalupe. I'm going to ask you a question. I'd like you to answer if you can. If you could have like any sort of superpower, what would you have? There's lots of superpowers out there. You watch those Marvel movies or whatever else is going on right there. There's lots of things that are going on there. Something that is superhuman. If you could have anything, what would you really want to have to be able to do? For me, it would be really helpful if I could do one of two things. Either bilocate, meaning being one at two places at the same time. That would really help me out. Or maybe if I could just instantly, at the snap of a finger, be in one place or another. That way I wouldn't have all this travel time between all the places that I'm expected to go and do things. That'd be pretty nice and pretty helpful for me. What would you do? Like to be invisible? So that nobody could see, you could just sleep all day? That's probably Cynthia's. Think about what you'd like to be able to do. So if you were able to do that, whatever it is, maybe it's super strength, so you could just throw cars around when you're angry and just let your anger be felt in some sort of way, or maybe have a supersonic screech in that way just to let everything out that's building up inside you. I don't know. Whatever it is, once you use that thing and people saw you using that thing, what would everybody do around you? They'd go, man, that's Cynthia. She's pretty good. We don't know where she is, but she's invisible, and she's showing up in all these crazy places. Or, wow, Father's able to instantly move from place to place. It's like he can do so much. Wow, how great is he? Or maybe if you're able to pick up things or, have super intelligence or whatever it is, or shoot lasers out of your eye, that'd be really impressive, right? And then everybody would say, what? You're like a god. That you're something superhuman that, wow, they'll carry you out on your shoulders. You see it in all the Marvel movies, all those things that go on right there. They carry them out there. They laud them in so many ways. And when they do good for them, when they save them, you get all the praise and all the laud that comes your way. In essence, that's what's going on in the reading that Lily gave for us, in the Acts of the Apostles. Here it is, some man who they all knew really well to be a cripple for God knows how long, doesn't say in the scriptures. Everybody knew he was a cripple there in Lystra, in Derbe, out there in those Greek places, untouched by the gospel, and all of a sudden, Paul senses something inside that he has faith that will bring about a healing. So he's listening to God, so he knows that God is saying, this one, I want to heal him. Say it, and it'll be done. And so he just calls out in the middle of the crowd and says, stand up, straight on your feet. And what happens? Stands up. Leaps up right there in front of everybody, and everybody goes, whoa, we know this guy's been crippled forever. Wow. And so what did they begin doing? You read it, Lily. What happened?
They began to believe other gods.
Which gods did they believe they were?
Jupiter and Mercury.
Good job, yeah. In English, we call them Zeus and Hermes as well. But that's correct. That's what it said in the Spanish right there. Yeah, because it uses the other names for these Greek gods that they had. And so what did they begin doing? They want to sacrifice to them, right? And what does Paul and Barnabas do? Right there, they had everybody eating out of the palm of their hands. They could have been living lives of luxury. They could have gone throughout the town and realized their life was going to be set, right? Because they had the power. Everybody was looking at them, and they had felt, even if that was the only miracle that they ever did, that would have lasted for a really long time, of them being able to freeload and to do great. But what does Paul immediately start doing? He says, no, I'm not a god. I'm a human being just like you. I'm flesh and blood. I'm no different than you. What happened here was that God told me that he wanted to heal this guy, and so I told you that you would be healed, and you stood up in the faith, and you indeed were healed in that way. It was not me. God is the great God over everything, and he has taken care of you, even as Gentiles, in so many incredible ways, even sending rain in you, but he has not left you without a witness, and that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to tell you about him. He's the one who has the power. You go and you turn to him. I'm not saying every one of you is going to be instantly healed just like this guy was in that way, but he's the one who did it. It wasn't me. Have faith in him. Have faith in him. Turn to him. Now, what would you do? If you could go through all those things, wouldn't you at least be the least bit tempted to say, to let your power be felt on everybody else? And then afterwards, to say, yeah, of course, that was me. That was me. That's what we call superbia. That's what pride is. That's what pride is, the essence thereof. And Paul easily could have done it. He was the smartest person in every room he walked in anyway. He was one of the great speakers out of everyone who ever was in any room he entered into. And apparently he had God's healing powers as well. all these great things, and yet instantly, in a second, turns it back to God. It's the same thing for you and me. Pride is not thinking that we're great. It's not. I don't know who it was in here, probably all of you mixed together. Beautiful voices when you were singing the Holy God, we praise thy name. Beautiful. It was very beautiful. It's encouraging to me. You have great skills. You're salutatorian of the class, brag on you all the time, right? Cynthia, you've got other things too. Don't think that just because she's a salutatorian that you don't have anything that's there. Margarita, you as well. Same with you, Anna. Each of us has gifts that God has given to you and me and paths and abilities that he hasn't given to anyone else to be influence on those who are around us. And we do need to speak out about those things and say, yes, I do have that. I have excellence in me. There are great things in there. And that's not being prideful to be able to do so. If you say that you don't have an excellence and you do indeed have it, well, then that is pride. False pride. False humility, which is way worse than overt pride. And so you recognize that goodness is there, and that is good. But then what do you do with it after you recognize it? Say, immediately, what the psalm spoke about. It said, no por nosotros, Señor, no por nosotros, sino por ti mismo manifesta tu grandeza, porque eres fidel y bondoso. Right there. And that's the answer of the humble heart. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name, give the glory. Manifest your glory, O Lord, because you're faithful, and you are the one who's good, and in whom goodness resides in its very self. That's what Paul did. Paul lived that out. So you may not have the superpowers that you want, and I certainly don't. I really would be great to be able to do that. But God has indeed given you excellences, virtues, and graces, and strengths. Recognize those things. Use them. And when somebody compliments you on it, admit that you do have them. But then immediately, just like St. Paul, reference to where they come. Not to me should you give the glory. Not to my name. Without God, I wouldn't be here at all. Without God, I wouldn't be able to do any of these things. I've been doing something real stupid with this. And he's keeping me in check. And that's the way that you and I began to live in that humble way and that allow God to have the glory and allow his name to go forward. And then we always ride in on his coattails. That's the way of the saints. That's the way of St. Paul, the way of St. Barnabas. And that's the way forward for you and me and with the greatness, the goodness that he's given you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Nuestro Señor enseña en el Evangelio quién tiene más mandamientos. Quién tiene mis mandamientos y los observa es el que me ama. Es decir, que el amor de Dios no es una cosa emocional, sino una cosa que hacemos, una cosa que demuestran nuestras acciones. Pero esto no es fácil. Jesús no negó que su ley es un yugo y una carga, simplemente afirmó que su yugo era ligero y su carga dulce. Y en este evangelio, él se dice este en el Evangelio Mateo, capítulo 10 o 11. ¿Por qué es ligera y dulce? El amor alegría una carga y lo hace dulce. Un deber realizado solo como expectativa puede resultar pesado y difícil en este momento, pero el mismo deber realizado por amor se vuelve fácil y agradable. El amor siempre minimiza las dificultades en su camino. Cuanto más grande es nuestro amor, más fácil es el sacrificio. San Bernardino de Clairvaux, Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, se decía que el mundo ve nuestras cruces, pero no ve el amor que acompaña esas cruces. That the world looks at your crosses and mine, the things that we say no to. They see them as hard. They look at crosses. But they can't see the love that motivates you and I to go toward those crosses. Because it's love that drives you and I. This is what says the saint. Tal vez digas, Padre, esto es solamente para los santos, no para los pecadores como yo. Pero es falso. Este es falso. Este lo alcance de todo cristiano. Es una gracia que se nos da en el bautismo y que se recupera si se pierde por un pecado grave, mortal, por el sacramento de confesión. No es un producto de las emociones y no depende en los sentimientos. En cambio, es una virtud que vive en nuestra voluntad. Esta virtud nos mueve a valorar nuestra relación con Dios por encima de todas las cosas. no porque nos dé buenos sentimientos, sino por su propio bien y por nuestro prójimo, por el bien de Dios. Nuestra mayor preocupación en la vida debe ser el aumento constante y sostenido de esta virtud, paso y paso, día al día. La oración, la práctica de la abnegación, nuestra meditación diariamente sobre la bondad de Dios, sobre su amor por nosotros, la recepción frecuentemente de todos los sacramentos, hacer toda nuestra acción por amor de Dios. Todo esto nos ayudará a crecer diariamente en esta virtud de nuestras vidas. Dios nos ha amado a todos y cada uno de nosotros desde la eternidad. No nos ha creado solo porque le amamos a su vez, le amemos a su vez. Amor de Dios es la razón de nuestra existencia. The love of God is the reason for our existence. That's why he made us. El amor de Dios por nosotros, el amor por nosotros llamó a Dios desde el cielo para que se hiciera semejante a nosotros. El amor por Dios puede también elevarnos al cielo para hacernos semejantes a Dios mismo. Amar a Dios debe ser nuestra ocupación incesante en el cielo. That's what heaven is going to be like, by the way. Heaven is going to be us just incessantly loving God. So if we're not doing it now, then we're not prepared for it, right? You got to be preparing for it today. El amor de Dios debe ser nuestra preocupación incesante en el cielo. Y será la causa de nuestra felicidad extática durante toda eternidad. El amor de Dios ganó el perdón para el recalador de impuestos arrepentido. Y a la falta de amor a Dios hizo inútil y estéril la observancia de la letra y de la ley parte del fariseo. Al que ama mucho a Dios, se le perdonan muchos pecados. Por eso, hoy, en esta misa, en el sacramento de su amor, que es la Eucaristía, obtengamos para nosotros este conocimiento para subir a las alturas, hasta el trono de Dios. El reino de Dios, se dice el Señor, está entre nosotros, en su amor. Y en el nombre del Padre, Hijo y del Espíritu Santo. Amén.